Welcome to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, where modern portfolio theory can suck it. A student of the school of Graham and Doddsville and a clergy member of the Church of Warren Buffett, here's your host, Eric Schlein.
Hi, this is Eric Schlein. You're listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast, and we have Jan back on the show. Jan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again, Eric.
Yeah,
good to be back.
Yeah, so I wanted to discuss an OTC. I know you dabble a bit in the OTC markets. I wanted to talk to you about Mills Music Trust. You know a thing or two about that company?
Yeah, for sure. That's actually one of my favorites. So MMTRS is the ticker.
Was that you that wrote it? There was an article in Seeking Alpha about it. Was that you that wrote it, or was it?
Yes, I wrote about it. Yes. So that's why that's a couple of things that I wrote is public as well, or the articles are public. But and MMTRS is one example, especially because I really like the situation. I thought more people should know about it because it could still be very, very interesting.
Huh? You know, it's funny because I actually read the article. I think when it was first published, when did you publish that? It was a few months ago, right?
Well, the first one, the initial article was actually in 2017, so early 2017.
Oh, okay.
When it was trading around $20 a share or so.
Was there an update to it or something, or maybe it was a comment? I don't remember, but I stumbled upon the article maybe about 6 months ago.
Okay.
And actually, from reading the article, you know, it didn't really come off as a company that, you know, it seemed interesting, but it didn't really seem like it was super cheap. Do you beg to differ?
Yeah, I mean, in 2007, 2017, I would certainly beg to differ. Now the situation changed a bit, but I think it's still interesting, and I think that, you know, as I mentioned at the first, you know, at the first part of our interview that I did, I think that what happens in the OTC land is that a lot of times, you know, the OTC investors that have been around the market just don't know about some of the companies, and I think that's really a risk for OTC investors, right?
Well, also, so it's not only that, but to be able to keep track of every update with those companies is also very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that that's one part, you know, why I write about the stuff, and I think that, you know, it makes a lot of sense to kind of know about MMTRS, even if it's not a screaming buy right now. But yeah, I think it's still interesting. I think it's still an interesting opportunity. But, you know, back in 2017, it was, you know, certainly better in some aspects. But I think that, you know, just by knowing the stock, you're halfway there. And I think that if you're going to track MMTRS, there is going to be a time, and it's going to be an investment, like a clear investment opportunity, if it's not already today.
So tell us a little bit about just explain to listeners who may not be familiar what the company actually is. And
yeah, sure. I mean, and before I do that, I mean, obviously I have to disclose that, you know, this is just my opinion. I've done many mistakes in the past, so please do your own research, right? That's the most important thing to say before.
This is not a solicitation to all that legal stuff. But this is not a stock recommendation. Do your own due diligence at the end of the day.
Exactly. No, but so the Mills Music Trust is beautifully simple. It's a royalty trust based on a portfolio of songs from the 1930s and 1940s. So there was this guy called Irving Mills who kind of had ownership of the songs, and he put together a portfolio, which then became the Mills Music Trust, and it started trading, I believe, in the 1960s or so. And you could buy shares of that. I know a person that has owned it for like 40 years.
Has it been a good investment? Was it a good investment if you owned it all the way back?
Oh, it was a good investment. If you look back, you know, the portfolio of the songs work in a way that, you know, the songs incur royalties and you get the royalties. You get part of the royalties, you know, through the trust. So that's easy. Public, royalty, and the royalty flows through the trust. Now, you know, you might think that, you know, songs from 1930s and 1940s are not popular anymore, but there are a couple of songs in the portfolio which have been popular over, you know, the past 70 years. They're actually connected to Christmas, a couple of them, like Little Drummer Boy and so on and so forth. You can find all the songs, actually, or the top 50 songs, actually, in the SEC filings. So in the past, 30 years, that's the data that we have from SEC, you can see that the royalty stream was very stable, actually, and you couldn't really see a negative trend. It's more like a range. So the royalties are quite volatile from year to year and quarter to quarter, but there is no like this, you know, discernible negative trends that you could see and say, okay, well, you know, it's just going to decrease. It's sort of like a liquidation play of some sort. Some people might think that, but actually, if you look at the data, you will see that the trust is actually really stable, and the royalties are still there and they're recurring. So that's the basis. And it, you know, for I don't know how much the person made on the investment, you know, since he held it for 40 years, but I do know that Paul McCartney actually owns part of the trust. He's like this the biggest shareholder.
Well, I think he's the largest shareholder.
Yeah, yeah, he owns like a quarter of it, I think, at 26.8%. And now I have it before me. And so he made good money from the 90s. He used to own it from at least 90s, because that's where the SEC data comes from, or the earliest data that we have. And, I mean, there were times when this little trust was earning like 30, 40%.
I just want to say one thing. Dividends. I just want to say one thing that's just really, really funny, that if I was ever to interview Paul McCartney, I'd probably be the only interview ever where I was interviewing him about something that had nothing to do with music.
Exactly. Like, that would be super. Want to know, how the hell did he know?
I want to reach out to him and just ask him about the trust and see if he'll respond. Cool. That would be awesome.
Sure. No, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. Just have a Paul McCartney on, right?
talk about the trust.
That's perfect. Yeah. So
we have Paul McCartney. He's a private investor.
Also not as member of Beatles, but that's not.
Yeah. He plays some music in his spare time.
Some kind of music, yeah, relatively popular.
But he loves obscure. He loves looking at obscure securities.
yeah. I think for OTC investors, he would certainly be more interesting because of the investment in those music trusts. But yeah, so he owns it since at least 90s, and I mean, like, back then it was in the 90s, in the 90s and early 2000s. You know, the trust was really pumping up the royalties at insane amounts, and you really had times when it was 30-40% a year in terms of the yield. So you can just get your money back in like 2 years, whatever. So back in the time, it was really stable, and you know, the yield was really meaningful. The share price was not as was as high, of course. I mean, the yield depends on the share price, right? So there's always, you know, all the returns, you know, are connected to the share price and right, the entry that you're going to go into. But yeah, I mean, he must have had, you know, at least like 1,000% return from that from since 1997 or whatever whenever he owned it. So that was, you know, that was kind of like a historical perspective. So the royalties are actually still stable, and, you know, talking from, you know, now in 2019, this didn't really change. So when I first look into it in 2017, I thought, okay, well, the historical data actually shows that the royalties are stable and there's no negative trend. So you could kind of look in to the songs that the trust owns and kind of estimate what could happen with the future distribution. What could be the future distributions that they could get from the songs? And you can do that because they actually show you the time when the song will enter public domain. So the main risk with the royalty stream is essentially, you know, when the two main risks. One, people stop listening to it, but that seemed not to have happened. And the second thing is, okay, it enters public domain and the song, you know, doesn't generate royalties anymore. And you can actually tell which songs will enter when the public domain. And so then you can kind of estimate how the distribution could behave. And if you look into it, you can actually kind of estimate that. And in 2017, I estimated that, like, it could return your money, essentially, you could get a return of 100% in around 11 years. That was at the time of 2017 when the shares were trading at, like, roughly $20. So that could yield you like 9%, 9% a year of what seems to be a very stable royalty stream, right? With not many risks, because, you know, the songs are still popular, and because some of the most famous songs or the biggest royalty generators are, you know, expiring or essentially entering the public domain only in like 2040, 2050, and so on and so forth. So you could still have a lot of the royalties going forward for the next 20, 30 years. So I thought, okay, well, that makes sense to estimate sort of what could happen there in the next 10 or 11 years. And it turned out that you could get 100% on your money. So essentially, you could get your money back in about 10 years or 11 years. So very, very specific dividend yield there. But yeah, I think that at that time was interesting and made a lot of sense. And I think that in 2019, it only makes more sense when you look at the royalties. When you look at the royalties in the past 2 years, they've increased actually. And the stock or the trust returned, I think, about 22%, 23%. So actually more based on the entry price of the 2017 article. So actually even more than my estimate. So actually it seemed to me that I was a bit conservative in the past 2 years. So when you look at it, the royalties, they're still stable. And therefore, it still makes sense to try to estimate what is going to happen in the next 10 years. And the distributions still look very much the same. And if you read the most recent article that I wrote in 2019, I hope I'm conservative enough. I mean, I do discount some of the stuff that I forecast, and I that makes it, that creates a bit of a margin of safety. So it's really simple, and I think that it works, and I think that it will work, you know, for the next 10, 20 years. And I think that if you don't really care about, you know, getting out of the stock, you know, within a year or two, then it's the perfect investment in terms of dividends.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm pretty straightforward.
So Yeah. I think that that's, you know, I think that not every OTC stock has to be super complex. And I think that maybe because it's so simple, people say, well, you know, it's interesting, but, you know, I'm not sure about it. You know, I'm not sure about holding it for 5 years.
Tell you, one of the things that I find attractive about the OTC is that sometimes the situations are actually a lot simpler. There's just less moving parts, right? If I'm gonna analyze General Electric, that's pretty complicated.
Yeah.
You know, so I actually think it's interesting when one of the rebuttals I hear of why people don't do OTC is they say, well, it's too complicated, it's too messy. Yet, are you going to tell me that, like, you know, analyzing the financial statements of GE is straightforward and simple?
Yeah, exactly. Come on. I mean, that's exactly right. Exactly.
Like what you just talked about is way easier to comprehend than probably quite a few of the companies in the S&P.
Yeah, for sure. I think that that's really the case. And I think you can get really into detail here. You know, they provide a lot of things. The trustee is actually quite open. So if you want to call them up, feel free to do that. You can ask all the questions. They will be, you know, they'll be open to answer that. But actually, I have to say that I haven't wrote that in the article in 2019, but I have to say that if you call the SEC number, the number that's, you know, listed on the SEC filings of Mills Music Trust, you will actually get to some random guy phone. They made a mistake. And actually, if you want to call them up, you will have bad luck in contacting them, because some random guy will pick up. And he actually told me, like, oh, you're not the first one that happened. So you actually have to then search for the trustee number somewhere else. So that's just that's just one thing to remember. But so that's the usual obscure thing with the OTC stocks, but yeah,
time I've dialed the wrong number, by the way.
yeah, exactly. So that's, they're quite open as well. They can send you the tax information, because a lot of people are kind of asking about taxes here, because it's 1099 and not K-1. So, you know, you'll get all the information that you need. And I think that it is straightforward and you can get into detail. And I think that the royalty stream just makes sense. And if you're okay with holding something for more than, you know, more than a year, I think that's it's an interesting stock to look at, and certainly to be aware of at the very least, because there were times when it was trading at, you know, dirt cheap prices and the dividend yield was really meaningful.
Yeah.
So even if you're not super stoked about receiving 10% a year, which, you know, in this current environment, I think I would be stoked about. But anyways, you know, if you have some,
we all have our own personal hurdle rate, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. I think that it's always worth knowing about the company, you know, knowing about this kind of dividend yielder, because maybe one day it will sell off for some unknown reason, and you can get in for an interesting price.
Yeah, I mean, look, for I've had Dan Shum on the show from No Name Stocks, and mm-hmm. if you look at his performance, 10% is amateurish for him.
Yeah.
Holy crap! He's
I didn't read his performance. Yeah, I know about it. I know. Like 45% CAGR or whatever. I don't even know, but insane. Yeah, insane.
Good for him.
Yeah. No, exactly. Good for him. Yeah. Hemocare was a winner for sure. So, yeah. No, but I mean, yeah. OTC, like, it can be crazy. I think the performance can be volatile a lot. But that's super cool.
Yeah. All right. On. Well, hey, that was fun. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, for sure. I'm always happy to talk about obscure OTC stocks.
Likewise. All right, take care.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Intelligent Investing Podcast with Eric Schlein. If you'd like to connect with Eric for questions, comments, feedback, ideas, or to inquire about being on the show, please contact Eric at intelligentinvesting@gmail.com. So, in the words of Charlie Munger, I have nothing to add.